You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Welcome to another edition of the Metal Arcus. I sort of feel like we need a number for these, but we don't have Kate Fagan today. She is celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday to Kate. Kate is like 3,000 years old. She's like an eternal, but she looks 20. Just a secret. But we do have Amin El Hassan, as always. We've got our fearless leader, Dan Le Batard, filling in as well. I like to call this episode the Dumpster Fire Potluck, because last week, it has been a week. And I wanted to start with our good friend, Scottie Pippen. I mean, you know Scottie very well. You have interviewed Scottie. Last week, we had Scottie do shot number one at Michael Jordan, the flu game, the legendary flu game, where he said, is it easier to play with a herniated disc or the flu? Come on, it's the flu. So that's shot number one. And then shot number two, we know that Scottie is selling his book Unguarded, but I'm going to read to you what he said about his dynasty going up against the Warriors dynasty. I'll stack our roster against the Warriors any day, especially our second three-peat teams. Let's go through the matchups. Dennis Rodman or Draymond Green at power forward? Dennis. Luke Longley or Andrew Bogut / JaVale McGee at center? Luke. Michael Jordan or Klay Thompson at shooting guard? Michael. Me or Kevin Durant at small forward? You could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
The only matchup clearly in Golden State's favor would be Steph Curry over Ron Harper at point guard. One more thing, the Warriors had nobody off the bench as skilled as Tony Kukoc. Now, we know that Scottie Pippen has gone like a scorched earth tour the last year or so. I mean, what did you make of him putting himself side by side as a pick'em with Kevin Durant?
I think it's consistent with everything that we know about Scottie, which is he feels like his legacy and what he accomplished on the basketball court has been erased in a wash of Michael Jordan fueled nostalgia. And the farther we get away from 1996, 97, 98, the farther we get away from people who are actually alive and kicking and aware watching Scottie play. And it becomes just this revisionist history that it was Michael and the Jordanaires. And I think Scottie feels that vulnerability, as the eminent scholar Sean Carter once said, a world with amnesia won't forget my name. right? It's the idea is that people have forgotten what Scottie did and what he represented. And so I think in an effort to correct that, he veers very far in the opposite direction. And, you know, scorched earth is the right term, Howard. You talk about he's taking out Michael Jordan. He's taking out Kevin Durant. He's going across the board here.
Howard, why is he so angry? I mean, first of all, the first thing that he's doing wrong there is he's remembering Luke Longley a hell of a lot more fondly than I'm remembering Luke Longley. If he thinks that it's a decided thing.
Exactly. But, it's a rap with Luke Longley.
But why is Pippen, what is happening with Pippen here that he would be so, that he would be this kind of embittered? They did an awful lot of winning for that.
Yeah, and what's been funny about that, Dan, is that if you go back into the Scottie Pippen archive, he has said over and over again that that team was untouchable. He has said over and over again that Michael Jordan was untouchable. He had Isaiah Thomas at one point last year said that LeBron was a better player than Michael, and Scottie laughed it off, obviously, mm-hmm. because it was Isaiah, because he's never going to give Isaiah any credit for anything. But I think what it is that I think the Last Dance has been a real accelerant. I think the Last Dance was something that I never thought the Last Dance was false advertising. I thought that it was always going to be a Michael Jordan story.
I thought it was just advertising, not false advertising. I thought it was just a 10-episode Nike commercial that everybody loved.
Right. I mean, so I never went into that thinking that we were going to get the Chicago Bulls story. I always thought it was Michael's story. But yet Scottie has taken that as, you're erasing me. Mm-hmm. And there's something in this at first, I thought it was just funny. At first, it was just like, oh, come on, man. Are you really putting yourself side by side with Kevin Durant?
Oh, no, it's sad. There's some sad. This makes me sad, Howard.
Yeah, there's something poignant about this. And what it is that I've always said you protect your own time. And Amin is right. There's kind of come a point in time where people never saw Scottie Pippen play. And Pippen right now, despite being on the 50 great list, despite being a perennial all-star, despite everything that he's done, there is a fear that I sense from him that he's getting erased and that you're putting me in Luke Longley territory over time, that Batman and Robin, that game is gone, that it's now just Batman. And what about me? And when I think about this, I think I sent you a text about this yesterday, Dan, where it said, you know, we remember the gladiators, right? Well, actually, we don't. There are a gazillion gladiators. We remember a couple of them. And Scottie feels like he's in danger of getting erased at the expense of Michael Jordan.
You say it at the expense of Michael Jordan, but this sounds like the bitterness of someone who's saying I'm being erased by Michael Jordan.
Exactly. Because, yes. Even better.
Because I put my trust in the hands. I mean, I put my trust on my story in the hands of Michael, and his level of anger on this seems to indicate that he thought that was going to be a celebration of that team, which would have to be a celebration of him. And it was not a celebration of that team.
I mean, it was, but it just wasn't to the extent that it was a celebration of Michael. It was they celebrated the Bulls, but it was a much bigger celebration of Michael. One of the things he pointed out he was irritated by was the fact that Michael Jordan got paid $10 million to do The Last Dance and nobody else got anything. I said, but that's because he's an executive producer. He didn't get paid a fee to appear in the documentary. He owns the documentary, or he's a part owner of the documentary. There's a big difference there, and I think that also colors the way that when you think about how that story was told, it reminds me of the old Chappelle Show sketch where he figured out that Antoine Fisher was written by Antoine Fisher. And he said, wait a second. If I wrote Dave Chappelle, the Dave Chappelle movie, I'd have some pretty incredible things in there. And so, it's like it makes sense that The Last Dance comes out looking like it does because it was, in effect, made by the guy who it is glorifying. And so for Scottie, again, it's a concept of erasure that was already happening by the passage of time. In the same way that once upon a time, I remember the big argument was, who's the greatest power forward of all time, Karl Malone or Charles Barkley? Nobody cared that neither of those guys had won any championships. And by the 2000s, that conversation's out the door. Part of it because Tim Duncan came along, but part of it is also because of the rings culture. Right? There's a quote that Scottie came out with the other day that I want to read here. And it's crazy because behind every one of these quotes, there's a kernel of, he's not 100% wrong. And so this one, he said, quote, in the 80s, on the playgrounds, you'd have everyone moving the ball around, passing to help the team. That stopped in the 90s. Kids wanted to, quote, be like Mike. Well, Mike didn't want to pass, rebound, and defend the best. Now, clearly, that last sentence is where he gets ornery and strikes back, because we know that Mike, of course, passed the ball, and of course he rebounded, and of course he took it upon himself to defend the best. But he's not wrong with the beginning of that quote. And we see it in our league. We see it in a player like Kobe Bryant, where he's lionized for being awful in the clutch. Not awful in the sense of wanting to take the shot, but awful in the sense that his efficiency wasn't great.
But where's the disrespect on Scottie Pippen's career? I see Klay Thompson is hurt because he's not in the top 75. Where's the disrespect on Scottie Pippen's career that I'm missing?
The disrespect is that we don't talk about him. The disrespect is when we're having these conversations, who's the greatest, who impacted winning, who won how many rings.
But he wasn't the best. He wasn't the best player on his own team. Like, he just wasn't.
In his time, as much as I respect what Scottie Pippen is sort of saying in terms of protecting himself, we were there, man. There was Michael. It wasn't a side-by-side thing. Michael Jordan is the best player on that team. When Michael Jordan wasn't on that team was not necessary. They were not a championship favorite. And Scottie's got to take a little bit of an L on this, right? And what I find fascinating about this is that not only is it just Scottie versus Michael, but now you're going to put yourself in Kevin Durant territory? Hang on one quick second. I believe you can make this argument. You can say it no matter how many times and not be and not get laughed out of the building. Kevin Durant is the greatest offensive player who has ever played the game. You could make that argument and not get laughed out of the building. That includes Kareem. That includes Michael. That includes Wilt. That includes all of them. When it's all said and done, you're going to be able to make that argument. And so I think that Scottie, where he's at right now, is I think there's just a lot of pain there. I think there's a lot of pain about being erased.
Is that delusion? Is that ego? Is that confidence? Oh, yes. Is it insecurity wrapped in the camouflage of confidence?
I think it's insecurity, but I think also it's how I frame myself is how I will be perceived. It's like new companies that want to put out luxury items and say, hey, this is just as good as a Gucci sweatshirt. So what am I going to price my sweatshirt? Around a comparable price as the luxury items, the Gucci's, the Prada's, whatever, because you want to be looked at in that air. In the same way as if he compares himself to Paul George, then it doesn't bring the prestige that he's looking for. He's trying to frame himself in a conversation among the elites. Michael, Curry, Durant, me. That's what he's looking for. He's trying to place himself on the same shelf.
Yeah, two things here. They're the ones you remember, right? This is that when you reach a point, I remember my dad used to say all the time, you never saw football unless you saw Jim Brown play. Well, I guess I never saw football. Jim Brown retired before I was born, right? So who do we remember? And when you start thinking about those names, the memories, the storytelling, the legend, that's all he's got left. And if that starts to get erased, he gets erased. But one thing for you, Dan, on this, when you're listening to all of this, how do you feel about Scottie Pippen right now when you're taking all of this in total?
It bums me out because I'm also adding to this the context of reports of money, want issues with money combined with the selling of liquor and books, and then all the internet whispering that you get around whatever his personal life is with his former wife dating other basketball players in a way that has caused him, I would imagine, some public shame.
Because some trauma here.
And so I see someone and I hear someone who sounds to me like he is hurting, and the mortality of all this, as hard as it is to age when your identity is wrapped up in this stuff and just simply retire, to be 20 years from your best days and have to basically shout at everyone to get your respect or say things that make headlines to get your respect. Again and again, what I feel is just sad for Scottie Pippen, that the winning doesn't make him happier two decades later.
By the way, I just want to point out, him fighting for the memory of his legacy is hardly a Scottie Pippen specific thing. This is something that afflicts all former athletes. A buddy of mine is a scout, and he remembers a story about going to the Portsmouth Invitational, which is this camp where the top seniors in the country go to for a chance to get invited to the Chicago Combine. He's sitting there and there's another scout and say, hey, watch this. You want me to get Elgin going? Elgin Baylor walks up. He said, Elgin, I was talking to Oscar the other day. He said, he kicked your ass every time you guys saw each other on the court. And Elgin became very flustered and upset, and that's bullshit and da-da-da. And they said the next day, this is in Portsmouth, Virginia, Elgin showed up to the gym with newspaper clippings of him dominating Oscar and dominating. He carries these around, like original newspaper clippings. He had these on his person at all times because he never knew when he was going to run into someone who tried to erase his memory. Remember, Elgin was the original great guy, never won the big one though. And he retired famously at the beginning of the 68-69 season, and that's the year the Lakers finally won. So what Scottie's going through here, I don't think it's isolated or even super extreme compared to what other former greats have done. I just think we operate in an era where he's got social media and he's got 100 television stations and a million outlets will say these things.
Well, how much of this, though, Howard, is competition-aholics always needing competition? And where do you find your competition when you're over 50 years old?
That's right.
You don't just put that away when it's been who you are all your life.
No, it doesn't go away. And when you're fighting over memory, now you can't even put it side by side because you're both in your 60s, right? It's done. All of it is done. I remember when I was in high school, 14, 15 years old, freshman year, and I remember the old guys talking. I would make a jump shot or something, and one of the guys would say something like, you know, that looked like Hal Greer. And I said, who's Hal Greer? Right? And I'm like, no, dude, I'm Sleepy Floyd, man. I'm Sleepy Floyd, right? And so I remember another guy was like, oh man, that shot looked like Wally Jones. Who's Wally Jones? And so if you're Scottie Pippen, you've got to put yourself in that conversation at all times. Because if you don't, even though you're in the Hall of Fame, they're going to forget about you. Because, you know, they forget about everybody. There was something that happened in the 8th century. And people in the 8th century said, nobody's ever going to forget this. And we have no idea what they're talking about. It didn't survive.
I don't think you realize how few people right now listening to this are like, who the f*** is Sleepy Floyd?
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Speaking of, you know, Dan, you're talking about that competitiveness and where does that go? So we got December 18th in Tampa. We've got this epic battle on the undercard of the Jake Paul, Tommy Fury fight. You've got Frank Gore, all-time number 3 leading rusher in NFL history, who's actually a free agent right now, who can still play, who supposedly has turned down offers to go back to the NFL this year because he wants to train for an upcoming fight against Deron Williams, the Utah Jazz former 3-time All-Star, played for the Nets. These two guys are going to go at it. And all I'm going to say is this. Could somebody make, Dan, can you make sense of this for me? I'm just going to set this up for you. That Frank Gore is 38 years old. Deron Williams is 37 years old. Frank Gore is still wanted to play in his sport. Teams still need running backs, and he's still active. Deron Williams made $157 million in his career. So traditionally, when we've had these conversations, it's usually been that these athletes go and do these things out of desperate financial need. Neither one of these guys need the money. Can you give me some idea of what this is all about?
I always assume that there is some money relation to any of these sort of things where someone would enter into an experience outside of their realm of expertise where there is great potential for them to be embarrassed. I'm willing, though, to hear any theories that you guys have on the need of the adrenaline rush to be on the high wire, to be in the middle of the gladiator spectacle. In there are a couple of things that people consistently, and you've, I'm sure, noticed this in your reporting, Howard, when you talk to athletes about what they miss, they miss the camaraderie of the locker room, and to a man, they say, I cannot fill the adrenaline rush of game day with anything else in my life. There is nothing I can find. So if I make it a boxing match, if you're telling me it's not about money, I always assume it's about money, but if you're telling me it's not about money, it's for the junkie fix of, I need to strip myself down to nothing but my individual courage, and I need to compete against another man at something.
Yeah, I mean, when I looked at this, I immediately thought the same thing you did, that there's got to be a money thing here. But then you look at the dollars, and you look at the fact that Frank Gore is still needed. Adrian Peterson's out there playing football right now. This isn't Joe Louis racing or fighting. This isn't Jesse Owens racing a horse because he's broke and the IRS is after him, right? This isn't what's going on here. This is something else. And one of the things that I sort of looked at was, one, the idea of being relevant, that you are used to being seen. I remember one time I was out with a former athlete. We were hanging out one night, and he wasn't necessarily a bad guy in the locker room or in the clubhouse, but certainly was one of those dudes, like most of the players, who are like, I can't wait till I retire, and no more BS and no more media. And then we go out, and all he's doing is trying to make eye contact with somebody to recognize him. Mm-hmm. They don't know what it's, I've been recognized my whole life and nobody's looking at me. And then the other piece of this that I thought was interesting is that there is something about the spectacle these days that has suddenly become lucrative. You know, you got Jake Paul and Logan Paul, these guys, it has suddenly become a lucrative thing to be part of the sideshow, which used to be beneath professional athletes. I'm a world-class athlete. Why am I going to go out and do this sideshow?
Let me tell you, P.T. Barnum right now is trying his damnedest to come back from the grave. Like, can I capitalize on this circus? I'm going to have a YouTube guy fight against the brother of the heavyweight champ, and the undercard is going to be a former NFL guy and a former NBA guy. This is as... the word spectacle doesn't begin to describe it, but the reality is they're looking for exactly those drugs that you guys are talking about, the drug of gambling, right? Of not gambling in the literal sense, but gambling of, I don't know whether I'm going to succeed or fail. I need that high wire feel of knowing that one false step and I could fall. And the other thing is the idea that these are people who came from the masses to achieve the greatest heights of their profession, of what they chose to do for a living. So when you tell these people, much like when you tell billionaires the word no, it doesn't compute. You almost have to have a level of delusion about you as an athlete, as a pro athlete, to even have become a pro athlete to begin with. So for Darren Williams, who has always had kind of a love for MMA and you know, combat sports, owns a gym in the Dallas area, the idea of, hey man, don't do this, this man will put his fist through your face, on one end, that doesn't compute, because no, I can do it. They said I would never make the NBA, and I did that, and I did it at one of the highest levels. I'm a two-time Olympic champion. I've made $100+ million in my career. The other part of it is, yeah, I kind of do want to walk on the edge and know that I could lose. And then the third part is, if this Jake Paul guy is making all this money, and he's a nobody, what has he ever done other than make some YouTube videos? I'm actually somebody. Of course I can do this too.
There's another layer to this, though, because both of these guys are younger than all of us here. So they're entering whatever would be about the age where you'd find your midlife crisis. Now, imagine if someone had come into our lives in our late 30s and said, this thing that you've been all your life, that you love, this thing that you are, no more. It's done. It's over. Go live the rest of your life. I remember talking to Robert Smith. I thought he was uniquely qualified to make the transition from football. Retired early from football because he studied medicine and he had a whole world of interests outside of football. He thought he was uniquely qualified. Next thing he knows, he's thrown up in a bucket next to his bed because he's drinking too much in the morning because he has not properly grieved the death of his identity. You talk about guys needing to be recognized, Howard. He had not come to terms with, hey, you used to be blank. You used to be this. To get there in your 30s, to you used to be this, you start dealing with some of the stuff Pippen's dealing with in his 50s and his 30s.
Yeah, and it is a real, it's a real grieving process because none of us, it reminds me of the great exchange between Joe DiMaggio and Marilyn Monroe when
it's a good
she
story.
Comes back from
great
the,
story
from the USO tour. Joe, you've never heard such cheers. And he says, yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have.
That's a gangster. Right? That's a gangster line.
I mean, but what do you do with that? You want to talk about the price of their golden youth, as Roger Angel would call them, the golden youth, to have to go through this and you're not even 40? I mean, the one piece of this that I was going to throw to you, I mean, and then go wherever you want to go with this, was there's also something pathetic, shall I say, about watching people past their prime do athletic things. It's like when you hop on social media and you see the 50-year-old guy, you know, videotaping himself at the gym. It's like, this doesn't look the way you think it looks. It is. Yeah. What's it going to look like watching Deron Williams, who's not a professional boxer, go in the ring against Frank Gore, also not a professional boxer? And is it gonna look like two amateurs duking it out when you guys are world class at what you used to do? And isn't this beneath you? I mean, with Jake Paul, sure, this isn't beneath him. He's got nothing.
But in that regard, what used to be something that we looked at as ridicule, as almost like Jake Paul would be the court jester a decade ago, now they're getting acclaim. And I think that's the difference. It's a, wait a second, you guys are loving up on this guy. Wait till you see me, right?
But more than acclaim, they're getting money. It's lucrative.
I'm reminded of one of my favorite things is songs that are incredibly depressing songs that are incredibly popular, but people don't recognize the depression within them. One of them, there's a song that came out, it's probably a decade now, is I Took a Pill in Ibiza. This is one of the biggest pop songs, swept the world. People got drunk and high to this song and sang it at the top of their lungs and never listened to the lyrics, within which the guy who sings it was, he had another song about 5 years earlier and he blew up and then he was a one-hit wonder. His career didn't take off. So then he ends up writing this song 5 or 6 years later and it's originally a country song. And then the lyrics are, I'm just a singer who already blew his shot. I get along with old timers because my name's a reminder of a pop song people forgot. And he talks about basically like being depressed and miserable. That's what's happening with all these guys. It's I get along with people who remember watching me at the height of it, but now all I do is sing a sad song. And that's what Deron Williams is doing. That's what Scottie Pippen is doing. They're all searching for that moment in time when I mattered.
That is a hard road because that's what time does to everybody. I want to believe that they're just rich and bored and want to fight. I don't know. Maybe you try to take it and make it something else.
It's so much easier to just say they must have money problems. They must have tax problems. It's than to mine this particular terrain of what are you searching for when your identity gets taken from you and you're used to competing for glory and winning and overcoming odds and you can't find anything in retirement that gets you as high as the drug of preference from your prime.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Keeping things bottled up can feel like carrying a weight that gets heavier with time. Whether it's talking to a trusted friend, journaling, or seeking professional help, finding ways to let out your thoughts and feelings can bring relief and help you navigate challenges more effectively. Remember, it's okay to reach out for help when you need it. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
On that note, Dan, speaking of searching for, how about the gasoline of the true gasoline of the dumpster fire of last week, which is John Gruden? What is he searching for? Here's a guy I thought, now everyone probably knows this already, John Gruden sued not just the NFL, but he sued Roger Goodell for singling him out for the Washington football team email scandal and actively, purposely trying to destroy his career. The argument from Gruden's lawyers is that they sat on these emails for months. They knew what was in them, but they waited for the season to begin to zero in on one person and one person only, John Gruden, that the goal was to destroy this man. And it has cost him massive financial hardship. When this story first broke, and we have still not heard from Gruden, that lawsuit announcement last week was the first time that Gruden had made any sort of public statement. We still have not physically heard from him. He's not spoken. I thought he was going to take the wait it out, hang in there, good guy routine, where at some point this was going to move on, there was going to be another scandal, and that he was going to slowly rehabilitate himself back into the league. Not when you sue the commissioner and not when you sue the NFL.
In our present climate in 2021, where people attack others for being privileged, and then the privileged show you that the rebuttal to that is simply be shameless. If you can just be shameless and withstand and be immune to the idea of shame, then you too can get out there and get yours. I'm marveling at the idea of a disgraced coach who made all of his money on football, who was the face and voice of football for a network as the highest paid employee at ESPN, that he would leave draped in the shame of bigotry and misogyny, and he would leave with a lame and curt statement that was just, hey, if I didn't, I never meant to hurt anybody. If I meant to, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. That those would be his last words. And that a month later, after the what should have been the shame gets displaced, then it's like, nope, time to go back on the attack. Time to go fight to see if I could go get my name back. What I assume this is partially about is John Gruden saying, wait, I don't want this to be the punctuation for me. I want there to be a rebound. I assume that after just getting the settlement money, I assume that he just wants some money as well, which is, what are you shaking your head about?
I think this is the opposite. This is, it's over, but if I'm going down, I'm bringing all of you bastards with me, because the lawsuit itself is ridiculous on a legal level. Like the idea that, hey, they revealed that I'm a bigot. How dare they? Right? The logic that, oh, I'm the only bigot out of 650,000 emails. Mine are the only bigoted ones. That's not enough to win a lawsuit. But it is enough to file a lawsuit, and it is enough to subpoena those emails, and it is enough for us to go through and see all the other people who work for all the other organizations around the league, including the league office, and the awful stuff they've said. And so what he's trying to do here to me is he's saying, oh, I'm never coming back from this. I will never get another job. So I'm going to get one last haul, one last payday out of this. And also, and if they don't, I will burn everything to the ground with me.
Yeah, I sort of thought that this was Nino Brown, New Jack City, combined with Joe Schultz from Ball 4. You know, I may get fired, but I'm taking you mofos with me, right? If I get fired, I'm taking you with me, right? I mean, it's Clay Davis in The Wire. If I go down, or if I ain't going down alone, I mean, we've seen this act before. What I found fascinating about this as a story was the idea that there are certain people who would know better, right? Because everybody gets their second chance. Everybody gets rehabilitated. Everybody knows that the NFL of all leagues is a completely closed business. And once you anger them, there is no USFL, XFL, and there's no place to come back. So for John Gruden to take this stroke, that's his way of saying, not only is it a wrap, but I am taking TNT to everything that came before me, right? I mean, now you could make the argument you could make the argument that once the emails came out about him attacking the commissioner, it was a wrap anyway. But we absolutely know there is historical precedent to the guy who keeps his mouth shut. And he just didn't take that route.
A month later, though, Amin, a month later, you're going to be somebody who has made his entire fame and name off of not just the sport, Amin, but that you love the sport. You love the sport a little bit extra more than the rest of us love the sport. You're going to set fire to everything, not because you were wronged, but simply because you were outed. Like, it's not it's not something fictional. It's not we can't debate whether or not John Gruden is guilty. He's guilty, and his reaction to being exposed for being guilty is, let me show you how many others here are also guilty, and let me be vindictive against the sport that I... This is not love of sport. I mean, this is a guy who had a very good run, who got a ton of riches for having Brian Billick's career record. Brian Billick never got to work again. This guy got the best job in broadcasting and then got an even better job to make him leave broadcasting. He doesn't have a whole lot of reason to feel wronged, given that he's more wrong than anything that was done to him.
Doesn't matter about feeling wrong so much, Dan, as do you believe? I know what Howard is saying is that the history of this league shows that if you keep your mouth shut and you wait long enough, people forget. And you get one more crack at it. But John Gruden's not a young coach anymore. I mean, beyond all this stuff, there are people talking about this guy's outdated. He doesn't understand the game anymore. The game has changed, and he's trying to coach like it's like 1999. And so the reality is, if you're John Gruden playing this very pragmatically, and you see the writing on the wall, they already wanted my ass up out of here anyway. Hey, that's the reason these emails came out. I didn't get fired for not being a good coach. I'm getting fired because the league, someone at the league, has it out for me, right? Now, again, doesn't matter that he's actually guilty for what he was outed on. All that matters is, do you believe I'm going to get another shot? And if the answer is no, then what's to stop me from hitting that red button on the wall? Because, Dan, you could say, talk to your blue in the face about how much he loves football. You know what he loves more than football? Himself and his bank account.
Well, let me throw two quick things out. One, even if it's over, you destroyed your own reputation. What is John Gruden without football? Now, you can say that the emails destroyed his reputation anyway, but he'll have no relationship with the National Football League again, ever, because of this. So when the Buccaneers do their, 25th anniversary championship, is he going to be on the field? No. When NFL Films does their thing on Al Davis and the Raiders and their last Super Bowl appearance, is John Gruden going to be? No, it's over. So to me, it's not just that thing where if I'm going down, I'm taking everybody with me. There's something else there too, which is I'm willing to blow my entire career up and things that I did during it. But I also wanted to throw one quick thing at you, Dan, which is, do you see any connection also with the last scandal that actually covered for John Gruden, which is the Aaron Rodgers thing, where we also have this a mentality here that I am going to position myself as the wronged one. I'm the one who got busted. I'm the one who created this. I'm the one who's got to wear this. But you're the one who did this to me as a strategy.
It's funny in a sport that is so often about accountability that is a pivot. But I do suspect that all of us are afflicted with a certain narcissism. When something horrible happens to us, I don't think it's human nature or instinct. Maybe you're taught, maybe there's imprinting in your patterns, in the way that your parents raised you or something. But I don't think the instinct is to not be defensive. I don't think the instinct is to raise your hand and say, yeah, totally my wrong and only my wrong, 100% my wrong, that this shame that makes you think I'm now a bigot is only my fault. Where can I find the accomplices, especially when you come from privilege, especially when all you've done is jump from job to job because you love football and clearly you haven't had to do any of the difficult introspection that comes with like terrible crisis. Adversity is not losing in week 5 because your backup cornerback is down. That's what's adversity in your life. This passes for something that I don't know that a lot of us could prepare for, especially if you're brazen enough to think you're so bulletproof that you could put that in writing and it's never going to come back to haunt you.
he's on the witch hunt defense right now. And the witch hunt defense really does not work, especially when you're busted the way you're busted. And also, let's remember one other thing about where John Gruden's at. He didn't get fired for those emails, because the first set of emails, he survived them. He said he went off on a racist rant on Demora Smith. He was on the sidelines the same weekend. He survived this. What he didn't survive was going toe-to-toe with the commissioner. That second batch is
what... That's what the lawsuit is, that he survived it the first time. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to survive it the second time as well. This guy beat me the second time after I came up, and they bought that whole cockamamie rubber lip story, is what I call people who are liars.
I'm reminded of the scene in Succession where Tom is, you know, kind of trying to horse around a little with Greg, and Greg kind of is irritating. Like, I don't want to do this. This isn't fun for me. And Tom responds, it's not fun for me either, Greg. And he's talking about the context of the monkeying around right there, but he's really talking about his entire situation. The idea that I'm going to be the fall guy and I'm going to go to prison while Greg is going to, you know, go on and do big things. And I think that's the frustration right there. You ask why he would jeopardize all that, because it's not fun for me either, Greg. This is what's happening to me that I have to just go along with. And unlike Tom, he's got a red button that he's going to push, that at least is going to spit some money out for him.
In order to make a Tomlet, you've got to break a few Gregs. I don't have anything better than that. I just love that show, and I love them too as a comedy duo. Howard, do you think that there is anything else interesting that's going to come from that lawsuit? Because I'm dying to see owners deposed. I want to see Roger Goodell deposed. This man, I believe that this league, unlike Howard, I believe that this league is too big to fail. I don't believe that these scandals are bad for the league. I just believe they're more noise for us to talk about, more soap opera to talk about, that any publicity is good publicity, because the league is such a television monster for so many different television places and now streaming places, that there is no controversy. As long as it's players taking the hit, and the league will take out Tom Brady even on Deflategate, as long as it's players and not owners, this league is fine.
And now you can throw that onto coaches. And I don't know why you lumped me in that other category. I'm with you. I don't think that this is that anything takes this machine, this juggernaut down. What I think is interesting when you say, is anything else going to come of this? Well, you've got a couple things at work that people say they're afraid of. And I'm just going to be like, okay, we'll see. You've got the Washington football scandal happening right now, which is there's concern about discovery there. What is going to be made of that investigation that the NFL took over? When are we going to see the emails? When are we going to find out what we're supposed to know? There's that. Let's not forget, you've got the craziness going on in St. Louis with the Rams and Stan Kroenke. And so people are worried about discovery there. And now with this Gruden lawsuit, there's going to be discovery there. So across the board, there are three opportunities happening at the same time for us to find out more about the way the owners think, what's in those emails, who said what, who was using their personal email, who was using the company email. We'll find out all that stuff. Is it going to take the league down? Don't know, but there will be popcorn and lots of lawyer fees on this one.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And happy birthday, awesome. Kate. We will see you all next week.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call, quickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.